Hey guys, welcome to Amber May Show. I am so glad that you are here joining me today because I have a very solemn show, I guess, if you want to call it that. We are going to explore a film that's based on a woman named Grace, and she died in the hospital during the COVID protocols. And we're going to dive into her story on this episode with filmmaker Jeff Wagner, and he's also a fellow podcaster on Frank Speech. So please, please, please like, share, and subscribe because we need to tell Grace's story. It's very important. She was an important person, and there was a family out there that loved her, and she didn't have to die. So please, if you're going to share any show, do this one, please. If you're at the website, theamermayshow.com, please click the donate button and become an angel investor of the program. You can donate whatever you feel like you can do. It helps keep the show going. And it's much appreciated. So you can go to theamermayshow.com and click the donate button. And while you're there, please check out the swag. I have a Let's Go Brandon shirt and different other swag on there that helps support the program. So you can check that out as well. And then if you could, you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theamermayshow.locals.com and be a $5 monthly subscriber there. That also really helps. Hey, you know what? We need to vote with our wallet. And I have partnered with several businesses that believe in our values, and we need to be building parallel everything. And one parallel thing that we could be building is our cell phone signal. All the three big companies are supporting woke organizations, and one way you can switch that is going to patriotmobile.com/amber. Get with our customer service team. They will make it super easy on how to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile, and they use the carrier, the cell phone towers, you know, so you can use the Verizon cell phone towers without paying Verizon. So it's fantastic. So patriotmobile.com/amber, and then all the other ones are in the description. You can go to the website, theamermayshow.com, click the resource tab and find Patriot owned businesses. Let's support them and build Patriot parallel economies. And we're going to touch on that on today's show. Parallel economies are important. It's just, let's defund the swamp, let's refund the kingdom. And this is how we fight back. So Jeff Wagner joins us today on the show. He's a filmmaker and a podcaster, and he's coming up right now. Always like to highlight other fellow podcasters and filmmakers. It's one of my favorite things I like to do. So like I told you, I have Jeff Wagner on the program. So thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you as a guest today.
It's my pleasure, Amber. Likewise, a fellow Frank Speech podcaster, vlogger, show extraordinaire. I mean, it's awesome. And there's a lot of awesome people out there on not only on Frank, but just in general, that mm-hmm. all this stuff has really brought people out of the woodwork, I guess, and standing up and fighting for America. And it's great to be a part of it. So thanks for the invite.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, because I followed you pretty much early on once I got onto the platform. And then when I was asked to interview you, I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to interview Jeff. Yeah. My fellow speech friend. And I was like very, very, very excited about it. So we're going to get into your film today. But before we get into your film, I'm going to first flash your website. I want everyone to go to the website, check out Jeff. He does some awesome content that he brings on. You can find him on frankspeech.com or you can find him at redbloodedpatriots.com. And we're going to get into that. But so tell us a little bit of a background about you and then how you got into filmmaking. Here's this is where you can find the film that we're going to get into because it's a heartbreaking film that we're going to talk about today. But this is where we're going to find the film and I'll play the trailer later on. But let us know a little bit about you.
Sure. So I was what I would call a corporate weenie for 30 years. I had a degree. I took the you know, the same route that so many people take, and did that like for 30 years, safety, environmental regulatory stuff. And then after 9/11, I took a brief hiatus from that and actually was part of the government for a little bit, working as a bioterrorism director for 5 counties in my state, and got to see firsthand the dysfunction within even the local government. And 2019, after having been back in safety and environmental compliance for years, I was diagnosed with a disease that's basically a chronic pain disease. And so I live with pain every day, but it's turned out to be a blessing because it's that disease that got me the ability to be free of the typical, you know, 9-to-5 type of thing and do what I really love, which is this. So, you know, I just decided at 55 years old at the time, you know, hey, what's my legacy? Well, the best legacy I could leave would be to help preserve freedom for future generations. So for me, this is a mission. It's a passion. It's not about making money, although money is unnecessary evil, you know, but so that's what got me here. And I have to say, I've told this story a couple of times, but I was in Missouri for Mike Lindell's Moment of Truth Summit, and there were 1,200 approximately other creators there, content creators. And we were sitting around the lunch table, and you're meeting people, interacting with people, and everybody, the great majority, no lie, the great majority has the same type of story where, yeah, you know, I never thought I'd be here. I never thought I'd be doing this, and this happened, and this happened. And I'm absolutely convinced that those of us that are doing this were put here for a reason, and that, you know, it's really a divine mission. It's something that God put us into to fight back against this really global tyranny and this agenda of oppression that we have right now. So that's a little bit about me. I went to, after January 6th is really the catalyst. So I've been doing my show for, you know, about 3 years, and I'm just loving it. I'm meeting great people. I'm talking to people I never thought I would talk to.
Right.
You know, and yesterday I had Janine Pirro on, Judge Janine on, and talked to her a little bit. Never, you know, I loved her for years. I was like, wow, what a great monologue, right? She's, I mean, she cool. is, she's awesome, and she's really intelligent, and she's really to the point, and she doesn't hold any punches. And so, yeah, so I'm meeting people like that, and Alveda King, and, you know, meeting content creators like yourself, where we just have this, we have a bond, you know, because what we're doing. And I really feel blessed doing it, and I'm sorry for being so long-winded, but that's the truth of it all.
Yeah, no, I can totally agree to that. I mean, my listeners know I was sitting in church one day, called by God to pick this up again, because I was a broadcaster on the radio prior to children, and I had so much trouble having children. So when I finally had a successful pregnancy, and I was getting closer and closer to delivering, and the fact I was crying to work because I knew I was going to leave this baby that I've been waiting so long to have, I was just like, this isn't right. I shouldn't be this upset about going to work, even though she wasn't even born yet. So I'm like, okay, I need to quit, because obviously my priorities, you know, are going to be motherhood versus my career that I've loved so much and lucky to do. So yeah, I hadn't broadcasted in 9 years, and then God's like, you're going to do it again. I'm like, what? Are you sure? Seriously? Like, no, I don't have an audience. He's like, do it.
That's exactly what I mean. See, that's awesome.
I was like, okay. And so just like you, just ran into people, and not ran into, a God divinely put people in my life. And it's been a wild ride. It's been a wild ride. So I'm so excited to have this opportunity with you today. And hopefully we can continually collab in the futures. And, you know,
love to.
I think it would be so much fun to do that and promote each other. And because we need to promote each other. We're fighting this woke organization. Like, me and my husband went out to dinner last night, and honestly, I put the blinders on. I really did. Cause, you know, sometimes you just want to go somewhere and not be upset about where you're putting your money, you know? because we've been, you and I are doing this all the time, right? We're very in tune to what's going on in society. And sometimes you just, you're just tired. But last night it was so in my face about, you know, obviously the month being the month that we're in. I'm just like, I'm tired of it. I don't want to support organizations, and give money that are going to just throw their stuff in my face and not care. Like, businesses should stay out of politics and just do what you do. If you make pizzas, make pizzas. If you make shoes, make shoes. Like, stay out of politics. You know, it's just, anyways, that's,
yeah, I agree.
So I'm no longer supporting this pizza joint because it was just in your face, like in your face. But that's me. A little rant from yesterday. Anyways, so let's get into your film. Your film is about a 19-year-old woman who has Down syndrome. And she went into the hospital and she never came out. So tell us a little bit. How did this film even get created? Tell us about your film.
So Grace Shera, her dad, Scott, he's been, I don't know how many hundreds of interviews he's done now, but at the time, Grace's passing had just happened a few months before, and I heard about his story and invited him on to the Patriot Review, and he was on, I think it was February of 22, after losing his daughter in October, so it had been a few months. So I had him on, I talked to him. He's in Wisconsin as I am and very close by. So he held a rally and went to the rally right outside the hospital.
Good and, for him.
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome. It was a day to remember. Very sad day because other victims, did speeches and told their story basically. And they were all heartbreaking like this. And, he had been approached to find somebody to do a film about Grace. So he thought of me because I'm close by and we can collaborate. Called me up. I agreed to do it. And it was about 7 months of work. And one doctor later, we had a doctor after I had done all the filming, all the editing, and had him in. And he texted me and said, pull me out of the project now. So I had to go back. We had to find another doctor. Oh, had to put that doctor in just as an example of the type of fear that they can impose on people because, you know, so it was a long project. I dedicated all my hours. I do have a director's edition version that people can purchase, which allows them to actually download the documentary and get extended content. Otherwise, you know, all that stuff I did because this message is so important. There's so many victims out there.
You know, the Arizona State Legislature just did a hearing and they had experts that came and talked about Corona and they had victims that talked about what we're going to see in your trailer where the hospital protocols literally killed people because there was a price tag on people. As a hospital, you got paid for a COVID diagnosis. You got paid if you put someone, if you gave them remdesivir. You got paid if you put someone on a vent, and then you got paid when they died of COVID. And so instead of incentivizing hospitals to make sure people lived, they incentivized people to make sure people died. It was such an oxymoronic, like you would never think in the United States of America this would have ever happened. But a lot of people saw the hospitals as like the nowadays Auschwitz, the prison camps of the Nazi Germany where you went in and you did not come out. That's what people were saying about the hospitals. There's an organization out there. So if you are one of the victims of this tragic event, where your loved one went in the hospital, was given the protocols, despite your efforts of saying, we don't want remdesivir, we don't want a ventilation, we don't want this or that. doesn't matter. There's a 1000widows.org that you can join, and you don't have to be a widow. You could be a widower. You could be a parent, I'm sure. But it's called 1000widows.org. You can join, and I encourage you to do so, because collectively we have a larger voice. And if we're independent and just like, I have a voice here and you have a voice there, collectively, if we can be together, then we're going to have a stronger, more powerful voice and hopefully put these people accountable. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you getting tired of woke companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey everybody, this is Cash Patel and you're watching The Amber May Show.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. What you're going to see in the film is DNRs. People were getting DNRs that didn't ever sign for a DNR. The hospital just came up and said, nope, this person's going to be a DNR. That means do not resuscitate. Even if they never signed that paper, even if the advocates never signed a DNR paper, this is something that was coming up, which is totally void of traditional hospital protocols. If you didn't sign a DNR, they're going to do everything, or they should do everything they can to save your life.
Well, in Scott's case, in Grace's case, you know, Scott and his wife and his other daughter, Jessica, I mean, they were literally screaming, save her. We don't have a DNR. She's not a DNR. Mm-hmm. And they still wouldn't come in. So, you know, it's about as bad as you can imagine. And, you know, you're right. I mean, you described it right. And in the film, we do directly compare what's happening in history today to what was happening back in Nazi Germany and, mm-hmm. and the whole euthanasia and eugenics thing.
I felt like they took the playbook because it was very successful and it was already done, and they redid it into our time, because they propagandized people that the Jews were the ones who caused this fire and Jews were bad and that the Jews this and the Jews that, and they started propaganding people. And what I learned is that the Nazi Germany government started handing out free radios, not because they were so benevolent and they just wanted people to have free radios, because that was expensive at the time, I'm sure, because they wanted a propaganda tool. They wanted something that they could use to convince the people of their means of whatever they wanted to accomplish, and that was to rule the world. They wanted to rule the world by any means necessary, and they made someone the target. And so you might have been friends with your Jewish next door neighbor for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you're going to turn on them because they're Jewish, because your propaganda government told you to turn on them. I mean, it's so sad, because we saw this no matter where we went, if it's TV, radio, print, in the stores, we couldn't leave without hearing this propaganda. And then suddenly, and what I loved about the Arizona State Legislature, they had a montage about how they were trying to convince people that COVID happened because of the unvaccinated, that the unvaccinated were the ones to be blamed. And then they showed the reaction of the reality of the vaccinated were the ones who were raising their risk level, because it did not prevent infection. The shot did not prevent infection. It did. All it did was like suppress some of the symptoms.
Right. And only for 2 weeks at the most. Mm-hmm. So, and people, you have a lot that you packed into that. But what I always call the American Reichstag fire, if you go back to Germany, you know, the Reichstag was the center of government, and Hitler gained power by burning the Reichstag down and blaming communists and other people, so that his Nazi, his socialist party, by the way, gained power. And for us, our Reichstag fire was January 6th, and it was just as deliberate and just as criminal. They murdered five Americans that day. And so people can look at you and I, and they can say we're conspiracy theorists, and actually we're just, we have the blinders off, and we're more educated, less ignorant than some people are to the facts that are happening behind us and around us, you know. And we really are the victims. If you look at all the language about ultra mega and about you know, the white supremacists and our terrorists, our school moms that are concerned about their kids' education, and the FBI knocking down people's doors that, you know, they have no business doing. They're turned into jackbooted thugs. I mean, it's there right before your eyes. All you got to do is open your eyes and see it. So this film is about a portion of that, because COVID is just but one strand of the overall truly conspiracy against the Western civilization. And the threat of global domination is much, much worse now than it was with Hitler, because they're not even using bullets, they're using needles. And, you know, and they have the capacity to, because of technology, take over and install a one world government. And that's the end goal here. So,
yeah,
the film is just one piece. And I wanted to put the film out there for that reason, to wake some people up, to hopefully save some lives, you know. And that's kind of the overall vision of it.
So I'm going to play the trailer so everyone could see it. So it's a really good trailer.
After we watched our daughter Grace die on FaceTime, I immediately felt that I needed to go to the hospital, though I was still pretty sick. And I met Jessica and our pastor there. And while we were in the room, Jessica and I had just spent a few moments just with Grace alone. And it was just the horrific sight to come upon was the fact that her daughter Grace was now gone. The emotions that came over the top of our minds and just our physical bodies were just unbelief. We we took her BiPAP off because it was still on. So it's hope and prayers that somehow she wasn't really gone. And as soon as we did that, the color of Grace changed. And we had to accept that she was truly gone.
Not one person stepped foot in that room. How can you do that? How can you allow an innocent person, a child, she's only 19 years old, die in front of your eyes? You don't do that. If you're human, you don't do that.
They knew they weren't going to convince us to put Grace on a ventilator. That means the money was going to dry up. They had to have the money. And when you follow the money trail all the way through, you see that a ventilator is about a $300,000 decision, that they had higher paying patients in the emergency room. Grace was worth more dead than alive.
It's just chilling watching that. It's heartbreaking watching that. I just got all this goosebumps. To have a parent have to watch their child die on FaceTime and couldn't even be by their side is so cruel. So cruel. And yet so many people were forbidden to be by their loved ones as they took their last breath. That is cruel. You'll never get that moment back. It affects closure. Even though you could bury someone, I mean, it still affects closure. I mean, I have personal stories of people dying in hospitals unrelated to COVID, but because of the COVID protocols, these people died because they didn't have COVID, so no one cared about them. I mean, it's in my own family, my best friend too. It's like, it's heartbreaking. That's why 1000widows.org is so important, that if you're a victim of this, if you know someone who's died, please share 1000widows.org with them so that you guys can share stories and be stronger. How did you, I would have broke down like 1000 times making this film. I mean, just that I watched every trailer that you had, and I thought, each one was so beautiful. Like, I almost went with the first trailer that you have on the website, and then I decided to do this one because having the parents talk, both parents talk with the sister, I just thought was very profound and moving. I don't know how you were able to do this film, because that would have been very hard.
It was tough. It was tough being part of the story for so much time, putting everything together. You know, but I just kept thinking, you know, this is something that has to be done. And, you know, this is something that I feel I was called to do. And I look at the Sheriff family and I think, you know, compared to what they're going through, mm-hmm. you know, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this film now so many times, you know, I don't know, but I still will cry during parts of this mm-hmm. film.
I wanted to cry just watching the trailer.
It's so powerful, and it's not because of me or anything I did. You know, originally this film was supposed to be kind of an afterthought. It was kind of a, let's do a video on Grace to share who Grace was on the website. So I started filming this on my phone, and you know, and you can kind of tell the quality of, but it ended up kind of being more genuine because mm-hmm. these were people you felt like you were in the room with.
Mm-hmm.
And when it premiered at the theater here in Wisconsin, the theater was full. Mm-hmm. People stayed for 45 minutes until we got kicked out, basically asking questions. You know, there were plenty of grown men. I just kind of watched the crowd, you know, during the movie, and there was only 2 people that got up to go to the bathroom. There was guys crying, you know, and It's not only the sadness of this. It's all, you also, if it really connects, you also kind of mourn the country, because
yes,
you're realizing that, wow, this is real, and you know, these people are our enemies actually, mm-hmm. and they do not want to do us any good. They have a stated objective of right in tune with the Georgia Guidestones that said that, you know, we need a population of 500 million. And that when you realize that that's part of what's going on, you know, it becomes the feeling of helplessness becomes more personal, I think. Mm-hmm. So within the story, there's all these different dynamics going on. And, you know, it's important, I think, to do things like this and to push things out there like this, because you and I and people like us, we are the only truth tellers these days. You don't turn on your TV and go to the local, you know, local news even. You know, you don't turn on your TV and watch even Fox News now. You know, you just don't get it there. Everything mm-hmm. is controlled. It's either pure mm-hmm. propaganda or controlled opposition. And this is why God has called so many of us, and why we are flooding the internet mm-hmm. with truth. I really believe that.
Oh, 100%. I was watching the Arizona Republic article came up on my phone the other day.
Yeah.
I have. Great timing, right?
Yeah. I coughed earlier.
And the article was complete garbage and nothing but propaganda. And they are trying to destroy the Empowerment Scholarship of Arizona. And the Empowerment Scholarship of Arizona used to only allow people who had a disability of some kind, a learning disability, or a foster a kid that was adopted, to get money from the state to go to any school that they wanted, either homeschool or private school, and the government would give the parent the money. Mm-hmm. They've opened it up to everybody now in the state of Arizona. All you have to do is apply for a simple, tiny application, and it's very easy. And the article from the Arizona Republic, Arizona's main newspaper, just had one lie after another, after another, after another with that. And so I wrote the editor and I said, how dare you propagandize something and lie to the people reading your newspaper, because nothing you said in this article was truthful. And they're talking about how this program was going to bankrupt our state. Actually, it saves our state money. We don't get people who get this money. Don't get 100% of the money that the public school kid would have got. They get 90%. So every time the Arizona government gives money to a parent that wants to homeschool or send their kid to private school, they get 90% and the state saves 10%. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at epswealthmanagement.com.
That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Thiebold a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. And the state public school system gets 50% of the Arizona budget, but they never talk about the Arizona public school system bankrupting the state of Arizona. They only talk about this program. And I said, the Arizona state legislators balanced the budget. They had plenty of money in their budget to fund this. It is not bankrupting the state. And I just went on and on and on. If we don't call out those reporting news when they're fake news, then we're not going to get anywhere. If you and I came out on our show and flat out lied to people, you and I would both get in the comment section on our website, a whole bunch of people yelling at us about how we just lied, right?
Right.
We need to take that and go to the main news stations, whether it's your newspaper or your regular news stations. This is how we fight back. And you're right, to your point, Jeff, to your point. Not only did I think every one of us knows somebody who went through what we just saw in the trailer. Personally, I did, not because they had COVID. And even still, they inflated the COVID numbers with the PCR test. The PCR test is nothing more than a magnifying glass and can find anything. It wasn't specific to COVID. There was no specific COVID test. Okay. Right. The PCR is nothing more than a microscope, and it will find anything. And especially if you magnify it enough, you're going to find something. So there's no saying that she necessarily had COVID. We don't know because there was no COVID test. They tell us there was a COVID test, but there wasn't. So lie. That's a lie, right? Every one of us has been affected by the hospital system one way or the other. We knew someone who went in the hospital, either died, didn't come out, or had a horrific event. They would starve people. They wouldn't come into the room, and you're so weak because you're not getting fluids. They refuse to give you fluids. And because you're so weak, because you're sick and you're not getting fluids, you can't eat. So they're starving you. They're dehydrating you. They put you on remdesivir to drown you from the inside out. Then they put you on a vent to finish you off. And to your point, when you said to mourn where we are or where we were in the United States, that's where my heart also went. Not only was I mourning losing loved ones, seeing people lose loved ones, interviewing people on my show who have loved ones, the cruelty of the hospital system, starving people, making people dehydrated and getting paid to do so. And then you said something else. Your doctor was afraid to speak out. They have weaponized every institution, including licensing.
Right. That's true.
They should never be able to take your license away if you haven't done anything egregious, such as, oh, I just want to try another medicine.
Right. Well,
okay.
People used to have the right to try another medicine. You remember those days?
Right to try. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly right. Right.
Mm-hmm. They have weaponized licensing, and part of me just wants to dissolve licensing altogether. You're already gone to school. You got your diploma. Why are we getting licensed? Just so the government can have something over our head to say, no, you can't. You can't now work because you're speaking out again. Remember that law that was passed in California where it was forbidding the doctors to giving their patients real medical advice if it went against the government? I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do remember that. And you know, it didn't have to be a law to be in effect, because no matter where you were, it wasn't only the United States either. When you look at it, there were several other countries doing the same thing where,
you know,
if they found out you were doing something against the protocol. In the film, Dr. Moon makes a great point. She says, you know, do we really want hospital administrators making our medical decisions for us? And that's really what happened. It's like the administrators come down on the doctors who, you know, mentioned ivermectin or, so yeah, California is probably the biggest cesspool in the country.
Yeah.
But,
It doesn't look like America.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember that, you know, we had a family doc, and my family doc growing up was above a JCPenney's, and went to his office, and, you know, the even medication was really up to his discretion whether or not he wanted to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't have to go to a pharmacy, right? I mean, he had some meds, and he would give you the common meds of penicillin or whatever, you know. So a much different time before all the lawsuits and liability and all the government control and restrictions. And, you know, we've really lost so much of our freedoms that, and people are so occupied within their own lives. It's much different.
That's right.
I tell this story too, and people always laugh when I say it, but when I was in school, we went to McDonald's for a field trip because it was so crazy that you could get a meal within this amount of time. And our world really has become this instant gratification time, you know, country. And it used to be, you go home after school, after work, it takes an hour or so to make dinner. You sit around the table, you have conversations. None of that happens anymore.
Mm-mm.
And everybody is so concerned about, you know, themselves and how they appear on social media and what their, you know, what their friends think and everything else, that we really have lost our ability to see that while all this was going on, we're losing our independence as individuals. And people really need to wake up to that fact and start to rely on each other more than they rely on government, because government's mm-hmm. not going to give you solutions to anything.
No, in fact, they take away solutions. And, you know, at first I was hard on the doctors. I mean, everyone can make their own decisions. I'm friends with Dr. Peter McCullough, and because he spoke out, things did happen to him. It wasn't like he went unscathed. And then I became friends with Dr. Napudi, and he really had the government come down on him, and he's still fighting this lawsuit, or at least last I spoke to him, he did. So it's been a couple of months. I need to re-talk to him and see where he's at with that. But there were brave doctors that did speak out, and it's not like they went unscathed. And I know the threat of losing your medical license was a big deal. I can't say that if I was a doctor, that wouldn't weigh heavy on me. I wouldn't say that it would be an easy decision to go against the grain, because it wouldn't have been an easy decision. Your family depends on the money. You went through school your whole life. Maybe you're still racked up in debt from student loans. And the only way you could really pay that at that point would be a physician salary. So I'm not going to say it was such an easy decision, but at some point you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, am I really helping with this murder thing? Or am I doing right? Can I look myself in the mirror and say I did everything I could to save these people? That's the decision you have to make as a physician. And sometimes the consequences are easy and sometimes they're not. Thank God some of the doctors that I already talk to on a regular basis, Dr. Stella, Dr. Meehan, have been able to keep their license, and some haven't. And, right. And that's what's so scary. That's why I don't think the government should be able to do that. You should be able to practice medicine how you feel is best for your patient, like you were just describing a little bit ago. My dad came here as an immigrant, and a doctor sponsored him, a medical doctor sponsored him, and medicine was so different when my dad was a child, when my dad came in his early, late teens, early 20s to go to school here in the United States. He was a small town doctor. He did minor surgeries. Everyone went to him. He was the doctor. You go to him. And then if he really couldn't at that point, then you go to a specialist. But really at the time, your general physicians did just about everything, you know?
Right.
And just like you described, they did just about everything, especially if you're a small town doctor like he was. And can you imagine? He probably never thought in his life, now he's passed on, but if you would have asked him, do you see America becoming this someday with medicine? I'm sure he would have laughed and said, no way, we are a free country. I can practice medicine how I see fit. The government doesn't have a say in it, but look how far we've come.
That's right. And I guess the way I view doctors making decisions as to whether or not to stand up is, you know, we just have to say, does this pass the sniff test? We'll use some common sense. So does it make sense that you can't try a medication that's been around for 65 years, won a Nobel Prize, is completely safe, you know, with very minor side effects, and that being ivermectin? And does it make sense that you're so controlled that your license is threatened? Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't there have to be a motivation behind that to get mm-hmm. to go that far? I mean, it should raise red flags all over the place. And mm-hmm. the question that every one of us has to ask ourselves, and not just doctors, is, again, the legacy. Do I want to be part of, you know, what is going to result in just absolute tyranny, and be a cog in that wheel, and, you know, being remembered as such? Or do I want to fight for the freedom of individuals and be remembered in that way? And I think it's especially, you know, easier today than it was for the Germans, because that was kind of the first major go round of it in a world that had media and everything else, right? I mean, we've seen, you know, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, we've seen all kinds of these dictators. And what's scary is that our current government is modeling themselves after those regimes. And if you can't see that, you know, it's because you just haven't taken the blinders off yet. And you really need to ask yourselves and look in the mirror, as you said, you know, is this something that I want to be part of? Because if you remember, it was sure easy for those prisoners in Nuremberg to say, well, I was just following orders.
Right.
But what were they told? You should have had enough humanity to look around you and see that what you're doing was absolute evil. Mm-hmm. Right. And they suffered the consequences. And it's actually, I pray that type of thing happens again, because sometimes it's the only way to root out the evil that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we as Americans have an opportunity to stand up and correct this before we find ourselves in that kind of a situation that we just can't come back from.
And this is where the physician could have also taken another stance too. I know, looking back, it's always easy to criticize, but when you realize your hospital protocols aren't saving lives and are killing people, it's not COVID, it's the hospital protocols. At some point, don't you think you should change the protocols? Or better yet, how about you leave the system and build a parallel system? I know it's easier said than done, but if your hospital is saying you're going to lose your license if you give ivermectin, you're going to give your license, you're going to lose your license if you give hydroxychloroquine, you're going to lose your license if you do this and that and the other, then maybe you step out of that hospital realm and find like-minded physicians and build another hospital. Someone out there will fund it. Look at what Frank Speech did. Someone funded a free speech platform. Rumble's another free speech platform. There's now Public Square can compete with Amazon, or will eventually compete with Amazon. And there will be people that will financially back you. I know, you just have to find them. Wouldn't that be amazing if we had a Freedom America hospital where you could practice medicine without the fear of losing your license? Wouldn't you feel great if you could actually be a physician to practice medicine without someone dictating over you what you can and cannot do? Perhaps health insurance, maybe become a functional medicine doctor, and some of your stuff you send to the insurance, but overall it's cash pay. I mean, there's ways around it with parallel organizations.
Right. Yeah, we need people to find their spirit, and that's part of the problem as well, is spirit and faith and the attack on the family. I mean, like I said, there's so many strands to this spider web of tyranny that we really need to rethink of our entire lives as individuals and what we're spending our time doing. And that part of it makes me angry personally, because they are taking time away from each of us. You know, and it's something you don't get back. Mm-hmm. And the time to do this, I'm sure you, you know, and I'll speak for myself, but I'd much rather not have to address all this tyranny because, you know, I'm spending my life doing it. It's almost like being imprisoned in you know, in this Twilight Zone world where you're dedicating your entire life towards fighting something that shouldn't be happening in the first place. But it's just that important. I mean, it just has to be done.
Mm-hmm. And Grace didn't have to die. And the one thing that was really hard is some people wanted to get their people out of the hospital because they knew they weren't getting better, but also scared at the same time to pull them out because of fear of, if I did, oh my gosh, maybe their death would be on my hands, or scared to pull them out because they felt like if they did, they would instantly die. So there was fear on that end, but I wish more people were able to pull their loved ones out of hospitals. That was almost impossible.
Yep.
There were adults that were getting kidnapped. Like, the loved ones was trying to get their people out of the hospitals and the hospitals would not release them. And they were trying to go to court to get them released. And some people got them released and others, it was too late for them. They died in the hospital during the court proceedings or trying to get them out of the hospital, waiting for a judge ruling or whatnot. Cause you know, legal aspects are very long. It doesn't take a short, it's not like an overnight, like you go to the court and then boom, you get your, no, it's a long drawn out process. And
depends on who you are.
that too. Regular people like you and me, it's going to take a while.
That's right.
And so there's so many things that COVID exposed. And one thing that I'm grateful about COVID exposing is the shot. As a mom, I started wondering about him because I could hear from other moms about the dangers of vaccines. And then I'd go to my physician and I'd ask them about it. And they're like, oh, no, it's totally safe. It's fine. It doesn't cause autism. And then you find out that some of the testing's only done for 5 days.
Yeah, how right. Is it safe? The influence of the pharmaceutical companies is, again, evil. I mean, there's no other word for it.
Once they got the ability to not be sued by the federal government from the 1986 Act, they don't take hardly any time to test vaccines. However, the pharmaceutical, like if you have to take a pill, those take years because they're not indemnified from medication. They're only protected from vaccines. So they, if you look in the package inserts, I think it's in Section 6, that it'll show how long the testing process went. Some of it's 5 days, some of it's 1 month. That's it. 5 days? Really? You can't learn anything about a vaccine in 5 days. Right. So it just opened my eyes to where I did a deep dive, and you could go to my website at theambermayshow.com, click the resource tab, and then you can see some information that are dumbfounding about the childhood vaccines. I interviewed a man who was a top wizard in the Satanic Church, and he's left the church since then. But they had to do abortions as a way of their religious rites to the devil. And then what they would do is they would sell these organs to different places. Some of them were vaccine manufacturers. Some of them, who knows? They sold the parts inside the baby to different places. When women find out about this, they might be second guessing whether they want to actually go through with an abortion. For one, it really is a satanic ritual. For two, they do sell the parts of your baby. And three, it's very painful for your child. Anyways, these vaccines contain aborted fetal cell tissue. Why would you want that in your body?
You know, several.
It's something you really got to think about.
Several. And in the case of, one thing that I'd like to really stress is, in the case of the COVID jab, it's not even a vaccine. It's the first mRNA gene modifier that has used widely, you know, and, you know, people need to understand when you say vaccine, it doesn't really belong in that category. Mm-hmm. It's scientifically completely different. So, you know, I say vaccine myself sometimes too, but with that understanding, you really have to, again, question yourself from a common sense standpoint and say, okay, so you open the package insert on this stuff and it's completely blank.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for example, that if you do a little bit of reading, you know that the purity requirements for the COVID jab were reduced down to 50% or thereabouts. So, I mean, it's the purity of what you're injecting into your body is not even the same as a purity of, let's say, a flu vaccine, which now that you're going to put mRNA in as well. So scary times, and the film really correlates the things that we've seen in our history to what's happening today. It is based around Grace's story, you know, but it is a much larger story than that. And you know, Grace is one of those people that, I mean, we've all met people with Down syndrome, and mm-hmm. you know, the people that are deciding whether or not, you know, this person or that person's life is worth having or saving, they aren't the people who really experience somebody like Grace, who mm-hmm. is one of those people who was, you know, always happy, loving type mm-hmm. of person, you know, and there are a lot of people with Down syndrome who have that same ability to make people feel good, and you know, and just to make a judgment on people, you know, that they're not worth keeping on this earth is in itself satanic. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're seeing that play out right before our eyes. So
some of the Down syndrome people are one of the happiest people, and we can learn actually a lot from Down syndrome people, because a lot of us don't have any disabilities to make life harder for us, and yet sometimes we're the most miserable people around. But then you see someone with a Down syndrome, and it feels like they're always happy and always have a smile on their face, and man, could we really learn a big lesson from that? I mean, to be happy like that would be such a blessing.
It is. Yeah, it would be. It's first world problems is what I call that. So we have first world problems, and we kind of wallow in our own situations sometimes.
No one deserved to die like that. And no. That's what makes Grace's story so powerful, because now her family has lost someone that they truly cared about, and it could have been prevented. It didn't need to happen. And that's why we have to get the story out. So I hope that you'll go and you'll share this show far and wide. I really do. And I hope you'll go to AmericaFirstProductions.com/BreakingTheOath. I really hope you'll watch the film. It was a good film. And it's just something we need to keep out in the public realm, because these people do need to be held accountable. They took someone's life that could have been prevented from dying. And now some family out there is permanently changed forever. So please go to America First. That's the number one ST, America number one ST productions.com/BreakingTheOath. I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show. I appreciate you and what you're doing. I want you to keep up the good work, and your film was really, really good.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'd like to have you on mine as well. So we can work that out.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to really learn about Grace more, go to ouramazinggrace.net. And that is kind of her main homepage. GraceShara.com is also up and running, and has a little bit more to do with the mission that's being taken in Grace's name. So those two websites are good as well. Thank you so much, Amber.
Well, you take care. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.